Hot round! Red 7, red 7, red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what red 7 means.
I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
You don't think that lame-ass play where I run downfield and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch!
Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get me the ball.
That's gonna make the difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying.
Welcome in to 11 Personnel. I'm Nick Rausch here with Adam Luckett. The Tuesday after Kentucky dropped a deuce on Missouri, or no, they laid an egg and Missouri dropped a deuce on Kentucky in what was one of the more embarrassing losses of the season of the Mark Stoops era. It was an offensive abomination, Adam Luckett. And I don't know the stages of grief. I kind of remember that office quote, but like yesterday I was very depressed. So I think it's like sad and then angry. I think I'm angry today. I'm a little bit more fired up. You know, yesterday I was just down in the dumps, but I'm ready to roll tonight on 11 Personnel.
Let's rewind back to halftime. Kentucky finds a way to get a stop. They go to the half 10-3. What were you thinking then?
It was kind of similar to Tennessee in that I thought they were going to lose the game. But part of my mind was like, this Missouri team stinks. And like, you're only down a score. What worried me was that they weren't getting the ball first because they made the idiotic decision to receive a kickoff. What kind of Mark Stoops team receives kickoffs anyway? Like, that is that's the anti Stoops mentality. We're going to receive a kickoff. So I was more mad, still kind of mad that they opted to receive the kickoff. But I was like, you know, they can still win this. They're probably going to lose, but like, this could end up just being another dumb, really dumb win that we're all going to look back and laugh at because Missouri's not a good football team.
See, I thought they were going to win because you leave that out there in a half, you dominate. It looked like for Kentucky standpoint, you couldn't play any worse. You get in the halftime, you figure something out, get a stop right quick, then you're back in business. And then Missouri goes on a 21-22 play drive, which I thought the Missouri performance offensively, I thought it there was a lot of fluky kind of stuff with it.
Also, fluky offensively when they're not running the, like, because it felt like nothing was going right at all.
Larry Roundtree had 37 carries, like 3.4 yards per carry.
I thought you were meaning the other way around. No. I see what you're saying now. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
They're getting these conversions by just a yard or right at the sticks. They're rolling the dice on fourth down. A lot went there. I just think a lot went their way. You got to give
Kelvin
them
Joseph misses a sack. Like, well, they dial up pressures that are there, and UK just misses them.
On both of their on two of their scoring drives, Kelvin Joseph has a corner blitz. He misses Tyler Beatty on a run, and then he misses a sack, and Bazelak steps up and throws it for a 24-yard gain. Mm-hmm. Like, those two plays specifically, but like
– and the Beatty run, too, it went right underneath it. Like, it was just the perfectly – like, it was the perfect play
call. They were both great calls, and he was right there to make the play. You just got to make the play.
Mm-hmm.
But you – Larry Roundtree, if you looked at some of his metrics, like I tweeted out earlier in the week, if you want to find it, you can find it there. But that was his worst performance of the season. He just had a lot of reps. So, like, I've seen a lot of texts where Kentucky wasn't stopping the run this week. That's not true. They were stopping the run.
I thought the defensive line did well against the run.
Marquand McCall played his best game. Phil Hoskins was good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, at the end of the day, Kentucky plays a certain way on defense,
mm-hmm.
where you're going to give them – you're giving 5 yards to the team.
I think what was frustrating was that they were still doing that on third and medium when it's like, guys
– right.
You can't give them that much cushion. Like, you know, maybe this is the time to make them try to
one of the fourth downs was Joseph just got beat on a slant.
Yeah.
Just got beat pretty bad on a slant.
And you know what? That play – see, that's what was frustrating about the game, I think, in general, is that the way Stoops talked about it pregame was that, I kind of got this feeling on Thursday that he wasn't just mad at us because he hates talking to the media on Thursday, but you kind of got this sense, especially when he came out and was like kind of bashing his team after a big win on Monday, that he was really trying to do a lot to get them fired up for the game. And yeah, so
Missouri, they were building up to that game too. Off the bye week helped them, I think, a lot to kind of build up towards that game.
And they've got the losing streak motivation thing, you know, right. Like that's a huge game for them. So Stoops he even said he went to the extreme in pregame. I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means starting it earlier. I don't know if that's
going. I think that's him just giving a speech before the game, like a pump up speech. That's how I took it.
Yeah, he's not a big rah rah guy, so I'm sure that was some of it, but I think in all of the kind of emoting and efforting to try to get everybody to just like elevate their game, there was some kind of just silly thing. Like, dude, call a timeout right there. Because that play that you're talking about where Joseph got beaten on a slant, it's 4th and 6. It's you need to get a stop here. It's a lot of yards to go. And before the snap, you've got DeAndre Square and your linebackers running all over the field. They're not lined up. People don't know what they're doing. And Missouri was kind of going tempo in those situations. Dude, it's okay to burn a timeout, man. You can burn one and just make sure everything's all right. Yeah. And hell, Drinkwitz might think twice and just kick a field goal there. But that was one of those situations that, I mean, it didn't cost Kentucky the game, but it was the little things that really added up in this loss to Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just defensively, like Kentucky, they play a certain way. So when you play that way, you're going to be a lot of 3rd and 4, 3rd and 5s. You have to get off the field. They couldn't get off the field. Like, you just have to be better in those certain situations. But I thought they didn't give up big plays, you know. They took all the checkdowns. Like, Hazelak hit the checkdowns. And against even a young quarterback. against a young quarterback, that's what you should do. He hit all the checkdowns. But even with all that said, Kentucky's defense did enough where they could have potentially won the game. The one score drive
is pretty good, you know.
Well, they wouldn't have given up a touchdown if they didn't just have a 21-play drive. They get off the field, and then they have to go back out there 3 snaps later. And then Mizzou, every play on that drive was just, you know, was easy. They went down in chunk, 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 touchdown. So like, that's why I just say, like, there was just like, oh, okay, I'm trying not to, like, this week is all about, to me, like, ignore the noise. A little bit, because there's a lot of noise this week.
Okay, so you were ignoring the noise, Tennessee, and now you're ignoring the noise that it's that bad against Missouri.
Right. It's never as good as it is, never as bad as it is.
There we go.
I'm looking at it on defense, but there's no hiding from how bad it was on offense.
Woo-hoo.
And we've seen some clunkers with Eddie Grant in some games, specifically SEC games.
And A&M. Was bad.
It's okay to be bad, but you cannot be this bad. Like, your floor has to be higher. You just can't fall off the face of a cliff like this. And
was it worse than the Mississippi State game?
Yeah, this year. This
is worse. Yeah, this was worse.
This was worse. one was up there with A&M, just because, you know, you had a chance to win the game multiple times. Mm-hmm. You could. This one was even worse. They just weren't even on the field.
No, like Ray Roundtree had more carries than Kentucky had offensive snaps. Like that. Right. It's incredible. I've never seen a time of possession clock so altered that one team has the ball for 3 quarters. Even hell, that game last year when Kentucky had the possession, it was almost the entire first quarter, right? With Lynn Bowden against Tennessee, it's like
yes. Yeah,
I don't think it was a 10-minute drive, but it was a 10-minute drive. And even then, the time of possession wasn't nearly as swayed. And I think that's what really had me sad, like, it was that Kentucky lost at their own game to a team that wasn't equipped to do it. Like, Missouri, they should not be they don't – yes, Larry Browntree's a good running back, but they don't have the guys to do that. Kentucky's got the guys to just wear you down. And Missouri did that. It was incredibly frustrating, but look, I'm willing to get on with you in this. It's not as bad as it seems, train. Now that I've been kind of sad about it for a few days, if we can figure out like just the offense. Like I don't even know where you go from here, other than the fact that going into this game, we talked about this a week ago. You kind of saw how this offense could be successful in the second half against Tennessee, and they just seemingly did none of that against Missouri. So I don't know. I don't know. I even tried to ask Grant, like, what went wrong from one week to the other? And he talks about getting behind the chains and incompletions, and it's like, maybe it's the completion part where there's passing instead of just run the damn ball.
I think there might have been a gentleman's agreement inside the program where it was like, this year we're going to prove like we can throw the ball. And we're going to, like, the coaching staff is going to have the rope where they're going to let them throw the ball. And then I think we've seen two games, really, Mississippi State and Missouri, where they came out and tried to throw it. And it was disaster, really, both games. Absolute disaster. And so, and it was also kind of disaster the first half at Tennessee.
Yeah.
Like, people forget, I mean, you forget about that, but they really didn't do anything. They had like 54 yards at halftime. And then they got a lead, and then they were just able to, you know, go out and run the ball in the second half. So I think just overall, I think they didn't have a great plan coming into the season.
Well, and to your point, Luckett, like we've talked about this at length, and I spent actually most of Monday and Tuesday working on something, trying to figure out the passing problem, because you know,
it's not even like they're passing it a lot. They're still last in the SEC in passing attempts per game or passing attempt percentage.
Mm-hmm.
But it still goes away, I think, from their strength.
Well,
it does start with quarterback. I mean, receivers are not helping at all. And the receivers are bad, bad, like bottom of the Power Five bad. But I don't know. They had a strength on this team, which was offensive line run blocking and then a stable of backs. And they're just not leaning on that enough, in my opinion.
Well, and, you know, we were sold going into the season Terry Wilson was going to take this team to the new heights. And
which, was looking back, should they not have done that? That's one thing I've been wondering this week. Was that a mistake?
Maybe so. But I think part of it is like you see Nick Saban talking about after the game how this is an offensive game now, and we've got to change up our styles. And Stoops talks about the way he's recruited, the way they've been recruiting receivers. Like it's almost like the P word for Coach Cal, how platoon, even though it was successful in that one season, just like Bowden Ball was, and it was a lot of fun, it really hurt him on the recruiting trail for a couple of years. And I think Stoops wanted to shake that stigma so you don't have people like Jordan Watkins talking about receivers being happy to go block for UK. I think Stoops really wants to make that adjustment, and he was hoping that he could do it with a guy who, not technically a three-year starter, but somebody who's has the physical tools and who should be better at this point. So I can't really blame him for that. What I can cast some blame at is, like, is Darren Henshaw a good quarterback coach? Like, I don't have the answer to that question, and I'm very biased, but I just watched my cousin win a game at Purdue with a guy who was a walk-on a year ago. Like, there's something missing with the court. Now, is it all play calling? Is it the receivers? The receivers play a part of it, like it? But you know who recruited those receivers?
Yeah.
It was Grant and Henshaw. So to get to this point, it's been a lot of different problems. And now they're kind of all coming to a head at once because, I mean, right now you've got Josh Ali is your one receiver. He has 26 catches. The rest of the five receivers have 19. And two of those were in garbage time by guys who don't play. Mike Drennan's now going to be playing more, but like they aren't doing anything. And unfortunately, because Missouri's camera men were that was the worst broadcast in the history of the SEC network. We right. couldn't see half the damn field. So I don't know how much was them not getting open, but like it, I knew it was going to be bad when you try to set the tone by passing, when you don't establish the run game before going to the pass to try to open it up. you get throws like the one he had to Josh Alley. It was an over route. It was a check down. And, like, it just ate the dirt, and it never had a shot. And he was open. It was the right read. But he was already in his own head, you know, a handful of plays into the game. And from that point forward, it was just a disaster.
Well, the first play, this is a throw that they've gone to a lot, but I've never really seen Terry complete it, like throw it right there. It's the slot fade, Keaton Upshaw. It's a 30-yard throw where you just got to put it over the guy's shoulder. It's a tough play to defend. And it's a throw like all modern quarterbacks make now. Everybody in their playbook has this slot fade. And this time they ran it to Keaton Upshaw. He was wide open. He beat the guy off the line. The safety wasn't even close. And he underthrows it. And Upshaw tries to come back to the ball. The receiver that, of course, excuse me, the corner that was beat, the nickel defender comes back. It's a PBU, second and 10. It's just, there's some throws like you just have to make those throws. If you can't make them, you have to do something. You almost have to do something different. I feel for him because he doesn't have any help. And I don't know if UK's passing concepts are all that, you know, innovative. Like, we've seen this staff be very creative and very innovative in getting the run game going in tons of different ways. We haven't seen that same creativity or innovativeness, if that's a word, innovation with the pass game. I mean, there's never like they just never got ever since 2016. There's never guys streaking open deep. It's just it never seems easy. Everything is. They use the word strain a lot, but every time I hear Eddie Grant say strain, it makes me UK's passing game because everything with it is just like it's like pulling out teeth. So I think long term, I think you know something has to change at the end of this year. I'm not sure what it is.
Right. Well, and something might change today because, I mean, minutes before we were planning to hop on here, we heard from Eddie Grant. And as much as there was an open quarterback competition when the depth chart was released, it sounds like Terry Wilson's not going to be playing Saturday against Georgia. Stoops said there was a minor injury on Monday. He wasn't going to practice. And Grant said today that he was – not available and we'll reassess tomorrow. But I think more glaringly, when you dug a little bit deeper, when he was asked about Joey Gatewood, he gave a rave review. But more importantly, it was what do you want to see from the quarterbacks that will give you confidence into who needs to play on Saturday? When I asked him that, I asked about the run pass option. That was the only thing Stoops gave us on Monday. That was the only little meat on the chicken wing. He was like, those reads, when we run a run pass option, they got to be there. They're not going to be perfect on the read option that's a run with the quarterback running back mesh. They're not going to be perfect there. The run pass option, we got to get there. And when I asked Grant about it, he was just like, if we can't run this play by the end of practice on Wednesday, we're throwing it out. I don't care. I'll run seven plays. Well, if you're saying that about the game plan on Wednesday, if Terry Wilson ain't out there, well, then he ain't going to play. So all signs are pointing to Joey Gatewood getting his first career start Saturday. It will not be an easy first start against the Georgia Bulldogs, but first and foremost, Adam Luckett, what are your expectations for Joey Gatewood, and do you think this is a wise move?
He's going up against the Bear. I mean, you can't, whatever happens on Saturday offensively, if they have success, it's like, it's going to be a whoa to me because this Georgia defense is just stupid. They stop the run better than anybody in the country. They either have, on all the dropbacks they face so far, they either have gotten a sack or a quarterback hurry on an over 41%. So nearly every time you drop back to pass, your quarterback's going to get hit or touched. So they have an elite pass rush. They can stop the run. They're going to man up on you on the outside. So really it comes down to, well, you know, it's a pick your poison type defense. So when you hear Stoops say, you know, pretty much say we're going to get committed to running the ball, and you've heard both Stoops and Grant say this week, that's a fair question, why Chris Rodriguez isn't getting more touches. I think you're going to see a lot of them sticking their head into the beast's mouth and they're just going to try. They're going to try to run it, and then we'll see. We'll see what happens. I did find it interesting that Graham brought up that O-line today multiple times.
Yep, yep.
About the challenge, about how they're ready for the challenge, how they're excited for the challenge.
And this is a win one for Sorman kind of thing too, because folks, I don't have insider knowledge, and if I did, I wouldn't share it, but all signs are pointing to he doesn't have a lot of time left with us. That was a hell of a rally they had for him in Knoxville. Stoops hasn't said if he's going to be there this Saturday or not, but you better believe that if there was one more time to go down swinging for him, it's to go get a big win against Georgia. And if to your point, Luckett, they haven't communicated well on some of their pass protections, on some of those twists. They've just been off. But if they can set the tone, like, there's no reason why they can't hang in this game because of the kind of athlete that Gatewood is and the fact that he is a powerful North-South guy. And I think that's what Kentucky's been missing from this offense the most is just the ability to get those annoying yards where – you don't – we marveled at those aggravating yards that Benny Snell took, but I don't think we appreciated their value until Kentucky started going three and out this year because you don't have Rodriguez in there consistently turning two-yard runs into five-yard runs and making it third and two and third and three instead of third and eight, which that's really been the story for this team this year is they aren't getting the tough yards.
And thoughts and prayers, yeah, to John Schlarman and his family. Just you just wish them the best. No matter what happens. But to your point about Q run, low key, it's been pretty bad this year. Like they've had he's had some moments, Terry has, but there's been plenty. There was a Q counter in the game. I believe it was their second or third drive. It was there. It was open. But he just kind of hesitated, and then tackle for loss when it.
Yeah.
It was there, and those are plays you got to hit. And then we saw Mississippi State. There was a couple times he got blown up. At Tennessee, he got blown up, whether it was a wrong read or somebody missed a block or whatnot. But that was supposed to be a huge element of the offense this year, and it hasn't been a good portion of it. So you would hope with Gatewood in there that you can get a little more when it comes to that. And I think getting that and getting production out of that consistently could be – a nice change of pace for the offense and could open up some other things. But back to Gatewood expectations this week.
Before you get to that, I just wanted to say maybe some of Terry's hesitation too is the injury thing. Maybe there's another injury too that we don't know about. That would make sense. But you're right. He some of the reads he was making, he was wasn't hitting holes like they were there. And I forgot which game it was too. Where we saw a night and day difference in the Q run game because he started – it was from week one to week two. He started following his blocks against Ole Miss.
That was Ole Miss.
North South. And that game – I mean, that was the best offensive performance to date. I mean, obviously, Ole Miss defense isn't great, but the Q run game was more involved. It worked, and I think you saw a big difference. So maybe if Gatewood I mean, I know it's his first career start, but he's got a lot of experience doing this type of stuff. If he gets it rolling, maybe we do see this offense – keep the at least if nothing else, give the defense some more breaks this week against Georgia.
Right. So, Gatewood expectations, man. It's hard. You want him to go out there compete and just keep you in it. You know, turnovers are going to be big this week. Kentucky and Georgia both have won when they won the turnover battle, and they've lost when they lost the turnover battle. So, ball protection and punting are going to be big this week. Like two first downs and a punt by Max Duffy is a damn win for Kentucky on any possession on Saturday. You do that, play some field position. Another thing where I thought where Missouri game, they were really at a disadvantage was just the average starting field position. You look at that, Missouri was at their own 34, Kentucky 15. So they're losing 15 yards in perhaps how many possessions it was, like 10. So that adds up. You're in the hidden yardage battle. You're losing almost, you know, getting close to losing 200 yards in 10 to 11 drives. So
how satisfied did Grant McInnes have to be to put three of his four punts inside the 20?
Well, then another thing with that was, Nick, is we know McInnis cannot really boom it.
Right.
So there was a chance to win field position there if you can get a stop at Missouri when they're at their own 20, or they're inside their own 30. They were just punting from their 40 or their 50 all game. Yeah. So you were just, you know, the defense didn't help the offense in that regard. Obviously, the offense got to, you know, be able to switch it up themselves. But, you know, it's little things like that in that game that add up. But
I could go for a Josh Ali return, too. I just wanted to say that on your behalf. I know it just catching the ball would be nice.
Right. So, so for this game, this game is all about, you know, limited mistakes, shortening the game. Don't be afraid to punt. And then when those, like I bring up the scoring opportunity stat all the time, but it's huge this week because it's going to be damn hard for you to get an explosive play against this Georgia defense. But your defense is the best in the country at not giving up explosive plays. In Georgia, low key, their offense is kind of not good.
Yeah, well, yeah, but you got Winston Bennett the fourth.
Like, you look at their SEC numbers on offense, they're not great. They have that bell cow back this year, Zamir White. He's barely averaging 4 yards per carry. There's a little metric called stuff rate, and that's essentially the percent of your runs that were either stopped for no gain or stopped for a loss. Okay? Mm-hmm. A.J. Rose, that's where he's notorious for being bad at.
Right.
He's like at 13% or something. Zamir White, Georgia's running back, is at 15%. Like, he gets a lot of carries, stuffed at the line, tackles for loss. So, Kentucky, if you can get in here, you can stop the run, which I think you're going to have a pretty good shot at. And then you make, you know, Stetson go out and beat you. And Stetson's had a lot of balls that have gotten tipped. Been a lot of PBUs. He's thrown a couple of interceptions. He's not taking sacks, but he's not afraid to throw it over the middle. So if you can get a batted ball, bounce your way, you can get turnovers, I think, are going to be there for Kentucky if they can take advantage. Defensively, I think they're going to be able to hold up pretty well against Georgia's offense. But it's all going to come down to, can Kentucky manufacture scores when they get a chance? And Georgia's offense, again, they're really bad in that points per scoring opportunity. And Kentucky's defense is one of the best in the country at it. So Georgia's probably going to get more scoring opportunities. It's can Kentucky, when they get there, can they make them count, kind of thing.
Well, I do, before I get all the way into my worries about Georgia, because obviously there are a lot, especially with that defense that's, I mean, even Alabama couldn't completely destroy all of their stats. I mean, except for their pass defense ones, they're good. Georgia's defense knows what the hell they're doing. Mm-hmm. The one thing I do like about, if you're going to roll with Gatewood, which it's not confirmed, it looks like we're trending in that direction. But if you're going with a guy like Joey Gatewood, this dude isn't going to be scared of the moment. You know, I mean, it's not like this wouldn't be his first big game he's played in, even though he didn't play a lot when he was at Auburn. He still was in there for certain situations. So, like, I don't think the moment's going to be too big for him. You had Grand use he said he had a Stevie Johnson kind of look in his eye about him, which that's an awfully kind of big mantle to put on somebody right away. But
it was unique to bring that out now, to the timing on that.
It would be great timing. And I think it's also good timing that you're putting a guy like Michael Drennan potentially in the game to make big plays, because here, what I've seen from Gatewood in limited throws, because that's the thing that stunk the most about all this, like, it is we had a potential quarterback competition and we couldn't even go watch him throw in practice. But yeah, every time I've seen him spin it, like, he throws lasers. So, like, you just got to be ready to catch the football. And can Mike Drennan be that guy? I think so. And I think Alan Daly, even though he's not going to, like, just bust open he's not a guy with, like, great releases who's going to get wide open in man coverage, but, like, if the ball, if it's there, I have confidence that at least he's going to catch it. So I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm talking myself, after kind of bashing the wide receivers this whole time, maybe I'm talking myself into the fact that they can have something good go for them. Maybe just catching a pass from somebody different just gives them a little bit more mojo. We didn't see the spark that we wanted to in that Missouri game, like it, where I think that was the right time to do the quarterback change to try to get the spark, and you just didn't have it. Maybe with a week prepared, they have a little bit more juice. But the one thing that does kind of stink about this, we can't play the gamesmanship thing where, will it be Gatewater? Will it be Wilson? Where you're making Georgia guess to have two different game plans. That's not applicable in this situation because they run the same offense no matter who's back there between him or Wilson.
And I also hate it for Gatewood to make your first start because it's highly likely you're going to look bad against this defense. And then you have to hear for 2 weeks, he stinks from a good portion of the talkers around. When really it's, a lot of this on offense is kind of just throw it out the window. But when you look back at last year.
And Kentucky, I just wanted to add real quick, like it too, the one player that has looked good against his defense, he has how many NFL players catching passes for him? You know,
right.
That helps the quarterback look a little bit better when you have Jalen Waddle out there, which thoughts and prayers to that guy too. I know you were bummed to see that.
Yeah, that sucks.
That sucks real bad.
But last year, here's why, like, I got a little watching Grand today, like a little bit of like I'm trying to find the right word for it. Like
fire? Because he was fired up, that's for sure.
Yeah, or just like excited or optimistic. I don't think optimistic. He's like legitimate. Like I thought, like couldn't wait to get there on Saturday. I think part of that comes from Kentucky averaged 4.57 yards per carry last year against Georgia. That was the highest amount Georgia has allowed in the last 19 games.
That's good. That makes me fired up.
So I think they can, you know, they're not going to go out there and march up and down the field on them, but I think they can have some success. And that's why I think you saw it, like Grand pump up that OL because he thinks they can do some things against this front. And I think they think they can, you know, scheme some stuff up to have some success against them. And I'm in the middle of a rewatch of this game last year, the one we were at. And Kentucky had some chances. They just didn't score when opportunities presented themselves. They had a hold from Stenberg. That was kind of a questionable call on a third down where they would have had a red zone possession to start the third quarter. And then Rodriguez dropped a touchdown pass later in the game. So,
man, that was a fun. It's terrible as the weather was. That was a fun trip. That's when I learned how much you hated Steve Spurrier.
Yeah. It was a good time. But anyway, I think they can hang around. And I think their defense can for sure keep them in this game because I'm not like Georgia's offense was better. I had thought more highly of Georgia's offense before I started digging into the data this week.
Dude, is there any chance that we get a JT Daniels sighting? If
I think for sure that's there's
Winston Salem the third is off his game.
I mean, for sure that's a chance, but we don't know like if he's truly healthy or not. Yeah, but off the bye, yeah, for sure. I also don't know how Georgia's gonna be off this bye week because every year their bye's the cocktail party leads into
right,
that.
Right. And then
now you got like this little sandwich game. So, you know, I don't know how they're going to be. Are they going to be pissed after losing Alabama? Or is their eyes just like, all right, we just got to handle business here. Let's get out of here with a win and let's go beat Florida, which is their biggest game of the year every season.
At least like Kirby and his presser was very adamant. Like, you know, this is a physical Kentucky football team. We got to be ready to play. They play us tough every time, and we got to go out there and get after him. But I do like that how he's just finding new ways to answer. Like we're always evaluating quarterbacks because like the Georgia media trying to find different ways to ask him. I'm sure Mike Griffith's on there just trying to pry whatever he can out of Kirby. But Kirby just will be unrelenting. Nevertheless, I do just wonder like how many points does Kentucky's offense have to score to pull off a crazy upset? Even with a lot of turnovers, they got to get what? 3? They got to get 17, 21 points at least.
Well, here's the thing. If this game shrunk and Kentucky gets 2 or more turnovers, I think you can legitimately hold Georgia to 14 or 15 points.
And that's doable, right?
Yeah.
You can win a mud fight. I don't think the weather's going to be bad, but it's Halloween. We got a full moon, a blue moon.
It's going to be nice weather.
It is going to be, damn it, it's not at night though. Then the freaks were going to come out at night. We were going to really, but still, weird things can happen like it. Mm-hmm. Weird things can happen.
Because when I go back and look at some of these games Georgia's played, like the Arkansas game, I think they got legitimately 17 points from defensive takeaways deep in the territory, deep in Arkansas territory. That game wasn't far off from being 20-10, you know, right there. Tennessee, they got a couple scores from, you know.
Strip sacks.
And then Tennessee also got a score from Stetson dropping a fumble. So there were scores of that. Like that game was 47-21, but it had no business being that close. One of their scores.
The under that got away.
Yeah. One of their scores against Alabama, they just hit one big play, one 80-yard touchdown. But the rest of the game, they struggled, and it, especially in the second half when Bama got their starting safety back in the lineup. So I just – of the three big teams Kentucky plays remaining, you look at them, Alabama, Florida – I think they probably match up the best with Georgia if you're looking at a shot for an upset. At home, you get Georgia in a weirdish spot. The game's not going to turn into a shootout. Like, you play Florida and Alabama, you know you have to get to 34, 35 to have a chance to win it.
Right, right.
This one, I think you can realistically like be like, okay, if we get to 21, 20, we might be able to win this.
Man, and the legend of Joey Gatewood is born. I mean, right. If you want to think big, that would be a hell of a way to come out. And if you're going to catch another team off guard, give them something they haven't seen before. But you're going to need a big play offensively. You can kind of grind and grind and grind, but you need at least a big play. And I don't think Kentucky's landed one shot in the passing game all year. The longest pass play, the Josh Ali screen at Auburn.
Was that
the one that was the touchdown? Or he was tackled short, I guess.
Right before Rodriguez scored but didn't score. I think that was like a 39-yard gain.
There we go. Yeah. But like, there needs to be something vertically happening. And at least they've tried some with Upshaw. Maybe Gatewood can put it on him. They've at least tried those. But I think you gotta have some of those, because Georgia's linebackers are really, really, really good. And if they're coming downhill all day, Chris Rodriguez and Benny Stowe could be back there, and it would still be tough sledding to get any yards by running the football.
Ball security first, I think, is paramount for Kentucky. I think what you want to do is just hang around and then get in the fourth quarter, and then that's when you maybe take some chances. But if you can just get in the fourth quarter with a chance to win, hopefully you'd be due to win one. You know, because they haven't won any of their close games. They've had three games that were within one possession in the fourth quarter. And they lost to Ole Miss in overtime, and then they got Auburn and Mizzou kind of ran away from them in the fourth quarter. Like, that's why I think this season's been so disappointing, because that's been the games Kentucky kind of wins with Stoops.
Yeah.
Look at point differential in the SEC. Like, they've struggled to blow people out constantly under Stoops. Now they're blowing people out, and they're fifth in point differential overall, but they're losing all the close games. It's just been a weird year. Disappointing, because they were so close, I think. And if they just had an average offense, they're at least 3-2, maybe 4-1.
Yeah, and when you said that the other day, that really hit home, because it's like, just make a couple plays. I mean, the Ole Miss game is going to be painstaking. I think just the fact that there's multiple of those, the ones that got away, is even more frustrating, because we expected a stinker to be laid at some point in this difficult 10-game all-SEC season.
Mm-hmm.
The frustrating part is that you've already had a couple of those. And, I mean, the offense in the last three games, you have one half that's been decent, and that's it. And, like, you shouldn't be at this we shouldn't be having a quarterback competition halfway through the season. That's that is the ultimate litmus test for things are going wrong. And look at least, like, in my mind, long term, I don't think the train is completely off the tracks to where you've got to completely revamp everything. But if you mess up in the intermediate and don't somewhat salvage the season, you can wreck it. Like, you've got to be able to keep Christian Lewis, Chauncey Magwood, Armon Scott, and Dakell Crowder. You got to keep those dudes in this recruiting class. You've got to make sure that you don't feed Bo Allen to the dogs before he's ready and ruin your lotto ticket. So there's a lot at stake here. I don't know what those moves will ultimately be at the end of the season, because you're right, there's going to be something that changes probably. But in the short term, if you can salvage this ship, and we've seen Kentucky do it before, where it's halfway through the year, we got to change things up. I don't think they're going to completely revamp everything, but if they can make the right adjustments now, then we're not going to be having this conversation for the entire offseason, because you know this is the first of many. If they salvage things now, then it won't be a completely disastrous next few months for the Kentucky football program.
Two things. This Terry Wilson news kind of eliminated it, but I thought it was time for Kentucky to make a quarterback change regardless. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that out of the last three games, they've had one good half. And he was whether good or bad, he was a big part of that. You just kind of need a spark. Maybe you play them both if he's there. But I think it just felt like time. Like, you needed to change something up. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to go into this, all right, we're going to run the ball, we're going to be run heavy, and you want to be more dynamic in the run game, you have to put Gatewood in there, because he brings more to the table as a runner. So it was time. And second, there was a lot of, fire grand going on over the weekend. And I tweeted out a few things. And basically, my thing was, like, we needed to pump the brakes a little bit, because where Grant's at his best, where I really think his bread and butter is as a play caller, is having to adjust on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen him gone every season, literally. Every season he's gone into a year with a plan, and it's got blown up every time. Drew Barker in 2016. 2017, Steven Johnson gets hurt, and they had a really good year throwing the football going.
Yeah, he was really banged up too. That was when he had like four surgeries in the offseason. Right. Yeah.
2018, you had the quarterback controversy in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
2019, obviously, all the quarterbacks get hurt.
Yep.
And now this one, you have to make another quarterback change and kind of adjust from being – they were dead set on being balanced, we don't throw the ball, being balanced. And now you're – probably going to be like, all right, we're going to run it, but we're going to throw it a little bit more than when we had Bolden, but we're still mainly going to run it. I think you're looking at maybe 12, 14, 15 type throws a game, which is what I'm projecting Kentucky's going to try to shoot for here moving forward. So let's see what he can figure out. This is a tough, tough challenge first week. You know, you get the bye after this, so you can kind of figure some stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you can take this first data set you're going to get from Gatewood in this game, where you're going to probably give him a full game just to see what works, what doesn't work, what his strengths, what his weaknesses are under the lights. Because that's another thing. We don't really know that. I mean, we haven't really seen Gatewood for an extended period of time.
In his entire career, like, how does he respond to adversity? Well, you don't know, because it's always been in little packages.
What does he do off a big play? What does he do off a small mistake, off a big mistake? You get stopped two times in a row. You know, you just don't – like, you don't know. What does he really excel at in the passing game? What is he comfortable with? What is his best run concept? What play does he make the best read on? Because I thought he made some good zone reads on his first possession, and then his second possession, he made two right ones. So.
Right, yeah. I will say that going into the season, especially after first week, when people were already playing for the future, get Terry out of there. The way it's set up, it was you at least got Terry through the Georgia game, and then Missouri game was a time to get a new starter. Then you had a bye week to really know, get him comfortable with the offense. And then the Vandy game, that's where they can get even more confidence, and then you get rolling. Like, that was the timing for everything. The scheduling thing really wrecked things. And to further reinforce your point, how that first half of Sawyer Smith before he broke his wrist or did whatever the hell it was, that was a hell of a game plan as well too. So, like, you're right. We've seen them adjust well on the fly, and it needs to happen again. It just does. Because if there's one thing, Luckett, that's been a theme under the Grand part of Stoops' era versus before Grand. Before Grand, it was you start hot, you dream big, and then you just crap down your leg for the second half of the season, and you just stink. You just get beat up. There, I mean, how many 5-1, 4-1s were there out there?
There's 2 years in a row, 14 and 15.
It was brutal. And then
17 was like that too a little bit.
But for the most part, Kentucky's finished strong in the last few years under Stoops. So obviously the obstacles are going to be greater this time around. But the one thing too that this game presents on Saturday, it's an opportunity for you to flush the Missouri game just out of the toilet, like just get it out of your system.
That's a good thing and bad thing with the schedule. There's always a great opportunity awaiting. But the bad thing is there's always a great opportunity awaiting. There's no kind of catch your breath moments. Yeah. Back to Gatewood, though, in that recruitment, it was almost like that's kind of the quarterback you would like to see them plug into what they did last year on offense. It's a guy who can throw it a little bit, but he can do all that kind of stuff in the run. And all that kind of creativity you saw and all that cool stuff they did, you could do that and it would enhance your strengths and whatnot as a team. So who knows? We'll see. Now, there are two quarterbacks this past weekend, Michigan's Joe Milton and LSU true freshman TJ Finley. Both had similar makeup to Gatewood coming out of high school. Joe Milton was in the same recruiting class and both from Florida. It was big, strong, raw accuracy issues, but the ceiling is there. So hopefully Gatewood can be like them. And they're both of their debuts. They both play pretty well. Hopefully they can figure something out. And he can kind of join that crew as, you know, because I think the game's changed where quarterbacks like that in the past could be kind of exposed because of their lack of accuracy and whatnot. But now I think some stuff teams do in the run game and with the spread they can be more effective. So hopefully Gatewood can be that for Kentucky.
I'm with you. I did not see that coming from either of those guys. I thought South Carolina was a lock just with everything going on at LSU. And that guy could turn out and played great to make Screaming Muschamp mad.
Dropped the 50 burger.
Man, this is wild. It's also like classic Muschamp. Like here's a big spot that you can really shut all the haters and losers up, and then you just melt down.
Fresh off a big win, like one of his biggest wins he's had at South Carolina.
I know. Which, I mean, we forget that South Carolina was the team that kept that kept Georgia from being in the playoff conversation again at the end of the year last year.
That's another thing. South Carolina beat Georgia with kind of like maybe a worse offense than what Kentucky has right now. Not as good on defense, but they just force turnovers.
Yeah.
In Georgia, like Kentucky, if you can get them behind, they could be in trouble because they're not built to drop back and throw it 40 times. Like just similar to Kentucky when they get behind.
This was a long time ago. I think it was 09 or something because Cobb was there. But that's what happened in that last win in Athens.
Just turnovers.
It was like 5 turnovers. So let's hope there's a little bit of madness this Halloween.
Mm-hmm. And just in these games, I think for Kentucky, all you really ask for is just be in it in the fourth quarter. You can hang around until the fourth quarter. I think this Georgia team does have some flaws. And I think Kentucky's defense is going to match up well with their offense. It's just offensively, can you just get a couple first downs to keep everything at bay and don't hurt your team? And then can you have a couple drives a game where you can kind of manufacture something together and get some scores? If you can do that, I think you're going to have a chance.
Quickly, I wanted to bring up a few of the things that happened in the Big Ten over the weekend. It's the most Wisconsin football thing ever to finally have a quarterback that's not only competent, but elite. And then for him to go out with COVID and have to miss not like one or two games, but 3 weeks of football because the Big Ten's got to be holier than thou. Like that's just hilarious.
And it's up here whether they'll play this weekend, I think. Because their third stringer, because Jack Cohn out, obviously. Their third stringer, Hayden Wolf, was a guy I think Kentucky recruited. I think he went to Cincy St. X, but he might have COVID too. It's kind of
out there. They got Vandenboom.
They might be out all their quarterbacks.
Vandenboom is the whiskey guy, which I love that whiskey starting quarterback's going to be Vandenboom. Hilarious name. Isn't Hayden Wolf the name of a golfer too? It's Matt Wolf.
Wolf, yes. Matthew Wolf. Yeah.
Rutgers? What? Oh, that is great. Oh, man.
Seven turnovers.
Vince Marrow's got to be happy he avoided that mess.
Seven turnovers.
It was also, I think, almost the entire total they had for all of last season. So, Shiano football is back.
I need to see who Rutgers is playing this week, but that might be a play because they had seven turnovers. Their offense really didn't do anything. They just won the game because Michigan State was just handing them the football constantly.
Oh man, the one thing that was funny about that game too, not just the punt, like that Purdue Iowa game started with a bunch of punts back and forth, but I loved Ohio State handing it to them. I didn't like though that the SEC slate couldn't even compete with it because of the COVID cancellations or whatever. So like all of college game day was Big Ten. And I just like, you know, I can do
everybody little... all last week was all Big Ten, man.
Oh man. I did.
It was a lot.
It was too much.
Speaking of the Mike Sanford effect showed up there in Minneapolis.
It really did, man. In game one, too.
They got this. Did Sanford get some of that stink on them already?
I think so. I don't know what Fleck thought he was getting out of that. And I love, too, that right away people are like, oh, look at that Penn State. That was a great move to get that offensive coordinator. But I've never thought Clifford was that good.
Like he's not really. But they had no business losing that game.
It would have been very funny if they would have lost on a squib kick, though. That went wrong. Like that. Yeah. That would have been a very – like is Indiana and Kentucky – even though we distance ourselves from them now that the basketball game isn't played, there is a lot of kindred spirit kind of going on here where really good at basketball for a long time, can't say the same about football. So, like, it would have been just absolutely hilarious if they would have lost the game because they couldn't kick a squib football down the field. But eat it, Big Ten. You're not the only show in town. Oh, I got to also – well done, sir. Good job. You nailed it. You called college game day going to the Masters.
Yep. It's going to be fun. There's usually one game day a year where I'm like, all right, I got to watch this one. Like it was Washington State when they finally went there. I believe it was last year or 2 years ago.
And it's dark outside. Yeah.
Yeah. And then this one. But yeah, that's going to be one you'll have to see. I think that'll be pretty good.
There was some college football hardo that was like, it's the 50th anniversary of the Marshall plane crash, and they're playing on that day, and they couldn't show up to there and said they're going to go to a golf course. And I'm like, dude, we're going to get the Tom Rinaldi Marshall story. They're playing Middle Tennessee State. Like, you can't really – what are you going to do at Marshall that you can't do at – I bet they might even send Rinaldi to Marshall to have hit like the – where they have that like memorial set up for them. Like yeah. They're probably going to go all out for it, but you can't turn down the opportunity to have game day at Augusta National. Like that's going to be a hell of a scene.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
And I'm happy that CBS is finally. I feel like we always get the like you can only watch them. It's like the guy with the dollar at the end of the fishing pole. Mm-hmm. Like you can only watch for 2 hours a day. Where CBS on that Saturday, they're going noon till night. Where before the LSU Bama kickoff, so. Like that's going to be a great day. Great day all in all.
Kentucky Vandy gets a starter too that day. That's just how you draw it up.
Oh, look it. Well, we need to get out of here. This room I'm in, I can't turn the air conditioning on because it's too loud. And
you're in your hot box.
I know. And it's football weather though. Football weather's back and We needed to get a little wonky Saturday for a little spooky season on Halloween. Maybe it'll be spooky for those Georgia Bulldogs. How about that, Luckett?
Let's do it.
Well, We hope you enjoyed this podcast. We'll see if Joey Gatewood gets the start. By the time you're hearing this, it might already be official. We don't know as of yet that he will be the starter, but all signs are pointing to the Deuce getting loose at quarterback for the Cats on Saturday when Kentucky hosts Georgia at Kroger Field at noon. Hopefully, it's a little bit more fun, a little bit more entertaining than what we experienced at Mizzou. But until then, thanks for listening. Go Cats and go Kroger.